Professor Orenstein, Chairman of the Department of Jewish Studies, to welcome you.
Exciting day for me, and I hope to say a few words as to why that is so. But my excitement has been heightened by seeing this wonderful audience and the people who have been inspired to come today to view the treasures before us. Perhaps I would turn to the vocabulary of Jewish tradition to tell you how I feel. I stand before you in awe and trembling, and not because I generally suffer from stage fright, I generally don't, but in awe and trembling before two immense and beautiful things. One is 1,000 years of Ashkenazi Yiddish civilization, which found its culmination in the artistic treasures collected by Joe Fishtein, the late Joe Fishtein of blessed memory. And the second is Joe Fishtein himself. And although many of us have heard about that remarkable character, the self-educated Jewish worker, a product of the East European Jewish experience, and in its immigrant colonies in North America and other places around the world. As I had an opportunity and many opportunities to view the Fishtein collection, and especially in the beautiful way it's been displayed, or elements of it have been displayed by Goldie Siegel today, I came to realize that Joe Fishtein was a unique individual. And though he was one of many self-educated working people, he was a very special individual. And I think back to that time in 1981 when Ruth Weiss came to see me. And many of us in the field of Yiddish have had a sad experience, although sometimes it works to our benefit, of learning of collections of books without heirs. Yiddish books without heirs, and trying to rescue these collections and give them a real home. And Ruth told a remarkable story, and I think it's worth relating, of how the Fishtein collection was discovered and how it came to McGill. Joe Fishtein's widow wanted to see that a lifetime of her husband's work would find a proper home. And so she called a representative of a major Jewish academic institution, which will remain nameless. And he arrived and evaluated the collection by glancing at it, and offered the late Mrs. Fishtein some price per pound of books. She was so deeply offended that she escorted the gentleman, I don't know if that term is proper in this context, to the door. Through a series of lucky accidents, the collection came to the attention of Ruth Weiss. And she debated with herself that she should take the time, stationed in Manhattan, to go out to the far reaches of the northern Bronx to investigate with that which most probably was a very familiar collection of standard works collected by most literate Yiddish-speaking immigrants. But somehow, perhaps it was the hand of fate that pushed her to take the long subway ride and find this absolutely magnificent collection of over 2,300 volumes, many of them very rare. Because for a good part of it, this was a culture which was not produced in the ivory tower of universities or in elaborate studies, but it was a culture produced in poverty and during times of great stress and turmoil and violence. And it was a culture that was suppressed by ruling governments and even internally in the Jewish community by opposing elements. And so the Fishtin collection includes little volumes of poetry that were published at the end of World War I, during the revolutions and counter-revolution and civil war in Russia, when many of both the creators of this culture and consumers of the culture were destroyed in massacres, in pogroms. The tirage of many of these publications was very small in number. And the Fishtin collection, in some cases, perhaps contains one of, I don't know, I'm taking an educated guess, of 20, one of 50 surviving volumes in the world. So in contrast to that unthinking and unfeeling representative of the university library who offered to pay for the collection on by the pound, thanks to the efforts of Ruth Weiss, McGill University, and particularly its rare book room, offered a wonderful, hospitable home to house this collection of world statues. I stand in awe before a millennium of Ashkenazi creativity in the Yiddish language. The birth of the Yiddish language goes back almost a millennium. Now, for the greatest part of that span of 1,000 years, Yiddish lived in harmony, more or less, with the central Jewish language, Hebrew. There was a division of functions based on utilitarian principles of old Jewish culture. But for the last 150 years, approximately, a split occurred, and because of radical changes in Jewish life, Yiddish culture developed ambitions of its own, and those ambitions of the Fishtin collection. In viewing the exhibit, and I hope you'll have the opportunity to begin, because there's so much to see that I trust you'll come back more than once, I was so moved by the spirit of this almost anonymous man, Yosef Fishtin, Joe Fishtin. And I felt his presence as an individual human being. And I thought that it was not only appropriate, but incumbent upon me, if not to say some of my own words, to read something that would have been most meaningful to him had he had the opportunity to be here. And I feel in a true sense, in a spiritual sense, that he is here with us today. So I'd like to first, of course, express my admiration and recognition for Goldie Siegel and her fantastic achievement in the published catalog, A Garment Worker's Legacy, the Joe Fishtin Collection of Yiddish Poetry, which will really be an important tool for any serious researcher in the field of Yiddish literature, linguistics, and modern Jewish history. I'm also happy to see my dear friend Anna Gonscher here today, a trained librarian. She was one of the first to begin the enormous task of cataloging the Fishtin collection way back in the early 1980s. To pay my tribute to the spirit of Joe Money Lay, and it's a sonnet entitled East Broadway. And some of you are familiar, perhaps, with the fact that on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, East Broadway was, and still is, a main thoroughfare of Yiddish-speaking Jewry in the United States. Economic, political, social, cultural. First, the translation by Nathan Halper. East Broadway. Of all rich streets most dear to me is my shabby Jewish East Broadway. Graying houses, two uneven rows, frail, restless, and exhausted bodies. The worry tinged with God's old fire It barely glows, yet it does not die. And on the corners, seers and rebels who shout a nation's woe unto the sky, and the poets. Oh, rhapsodic brothers, on the grime of each stone, you transmute a nation's heart finally into the strains of a new hymnal. Long after you, each stone will join your people in the prayer of your song. I'm proud that McGill University has offered a home not just for those stones, but for those living pages of the spiritual legacy of Joe Fishtein, the spiritual legacy of the millennium of Ashkenazic Jewry. In the language of Joe Fishtein, East Broadway, Wenn alle reiche Gassen ist mir teuer, mein jüdische vergräute East Broadway. Die alte Häuser, zwei gekrimmte Reihen, die edle verschmachte Schmeier, in Zauberzeichen mit Gottes alten Feier, was tliert kein, in lässt sich nicht in See. Und die, wo spreiten heuch dem Wegeschrei von Volk auf Rogs, ne Wien, im Befreien. Und ihr, Peitonim, singende Gebrüder, ihr das Herz vom Volk getreien, rein verkauft auf dem Brut von jedem Stein, in Liederquilles von einem neuen Siddur, als jeder Stein noch reichtet lang, noch lang, mit jedem Singen, euer Siesgesang. Thank you, Joe Fishtein.